Big Brothers Big Sisters needs your help. There's a waiting list of more than 50 children hoping for a mentor. It's just a few hours a month. Be a mentor. Become a big. Visit Big Brothers Big Sisters Northeast Florida and click on Be a Big.
Now,
Helmets and Heels,
driven by Tire Outlet,
brought to you by Underwood Jewelers
on 1010XL.
Now your hosts,
Lauren Brooks,
Donna Murphy, and Taylor Dahl.
We are here with you, as is Mia O'Brien from First Coast News, and we're going to start the show off with the sad news that happened today. Not tragic news, just sad news. Mm-hmm. Tiger Woods involved, as you just heard RJ say, in a single car accident, sustained multiple leg injuries, but non-life-threatening injuries is what is being reported. Obviously, he was in a vehicle that was going at a high speed and it rolled over several times, and everyone's seen the images by now. The car certainly took a beating and everyone's hoping that he makes it through these surgeries okay and he's hopefully able to walk again.
And contrary to multiple reports at first, the jaws of life were not used on the vehicle.
Because ESPN put that out.
The Los Angeles Sheriff's Office
put that out.
I
was watching CNN beforehand and they were interviewing and the guy said, no, it was not. And once you saw it, because they were showing the whole video of them flipping over the vehicle and getting it on the tow truck, you can clearly tell that nothing was jarred open. I mean, it was mangled, but nothing was jarred open.
Yeah, I think mangled is the right word.
There is supposed to be a press conference starting any second, any minute now. I'm assuming with Los Angeles Sheriff's Office officials, but we will keep you posted on what we hear. I do have ESPN going on the computer here, and at this point, the press conference has not started.
What did you think, Taylor, when you first heard the news?
Honestly, scary. The first thought that honestly came to my head was Kobe, and I saw the picture at the same time. It was a Twitter notification that I got, so I instantly clicked and said, uh-oh, and that picture popped up. And the first one, it was kind of a blurry, far away version. You just see the hills and the car very mangled. So I kind of had that stomach drop feeling of, oh gosh, this feels way too familiar type of thing. Luckily, it was not that, but that was the first thought that came to my head. And I told RJ that too, and RJ said, you know, my mind kind of went to that same place because out in California it is, you know, you see the hills and the mountains and cliffs and a lot of the roads just kind of go through all of that. So thankfully it was not that. We're still waiting to hear more, but from what we know, it's better news.
Yeah, and I have no idea what they're going to announce at this press conference. What they could say is just he made it through surgery and we'll keep you updated moving forward. They don't have to provide, obviously, any details. But I think what they're afraid of, Mia, is that information travels so quickly these days by word of mouth. We were talking last week about how sometimes a nurse in a hospital can be a source for some people. And so at that point in time, and they're starting to meet with the media now, but at that point in time, I think they're trying to get ahead of any sort of either false reports or also just the word spreading just naturally.
Right. I mean, the first evidence I saw of it was someone tweeting saying, are we going to really believe this guy without a check mark who just posted a quote from Reddit? And that's when I was like, no, it's not real. It's not real. But at the same time, going back to the tragedy that was Kobe Bryant's death, when TMZ reported it, a lot of people were like, oh, it's TMZ. It's TMZ. It's, you know, sensationalized. If TMZ's reporting it, they know something that we don't. Mm-hmm. And so to be quite frank, which is absurd, 1 year later, I went to TMZ first because I, again, that same eerie feeling came over me that came over Taylor. And yeah, I was like, if TMZ has this, then I'm concerned. They did not. And now I guess we'll shortly hear from the Los Angeles Sheriff's Office more information about Tiger Woods' single car crash earlier this morning.
And I think it becomes almost too easy to believe some things you read. And even though we tell ourselves don't believe social media necessarily or the internet, but once you start to see so many different people report things, you think, well, this might be actually be accurate. But at some point in time, we do need to learn that we should wait until information is out. We talked about NASCAR a bunch last week with the incident a year ago with Ryan Newman. A lot of people were reporting false information. Mm-hmm. And so it is better to wait and to hear it from authorities first.
It is better to be right than to be first.
100% agree.
Well, and I think also it's easy on Twitter because the moment you type that name in, so many things pop up on Twitter, and it is, then you're seeing comments and comments, and then you go and it's easy to spiral into what is real and what is not. And I know, Donna, one of the things that you said on the reports you were reading earlier was that he was on his way to a shoot.
Yes.
That's why it was like 7 a.m. because there was other reports about of why it was so early in the morning. So
yeah, despite me not being on Twitter, I can still Google and go to people's Twitter pages. So it's fantastic. Thank you,
Internet. My mom does that. Don't take offense. Right. That's how she follows me on both Facebook and Twitter. Whenever I post videos or stories, she's like, oh, I'll just go on. And I'm like, yeah, this lady without an account.
It's perfect. Yeah. So I've been following Daniel Rappaport, who is the staff writer for Golf Digest. And his main job, his lone job, is to just follow Tiger Woods. So he joined CNN. That's what I was watching, and he was talking about, Tiger was there the past 2 days. Obviously, the Genesis was his tournament, but Golf Digest had a two-day shoot with him. And so, yes, it's okay for him to be up that early and be going because he was on his way to the shoot.
Right.
That's where he was headed.
Right. He was in, we don't know at this point, and I don't want to report inaccurate information, but in speaking with some other sports contemporaries, it did appear he was in some sort of courtesy car, whether that was for the Golf Digest courtesy car or what appeared to look pretty similar to what the Riviera courtesy cars this weekend.
Yeah, it had the Genesis Invitational logo on the side. They did ask him, why doesn't he have a driver? Why was he driving alone? And Rappaport said, I can't answer that one. I don't know why he chose to drive himself.
Some people just like to drive. I mean, if I had a driver, would I take them up on that most of the time? Sure. But like today's a beautiful day. I'd love to drive down to A1A and drive back, especially if I had a convertible with the
There's a reason that Kobe Bryant took the helicopter because he didn't want to deal with L.A. traffic. And up until his accident, no one said anything about it. I remember being told 3-4 years earlier and was like, man, that's brilliant. Like he's got a pad sitting outside a Staples Center that he just lands on.
Yeah, and certainly we can't hear the information that's being dispersed right now from the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Office. But if there was anything breaking, I'm sure we would see it on Twitter, and we'll certainly continue to keep you updated. Let's get it to the Jaguars, as head coach Urban Meyer announced that Amy Paulsik is going to be the lead communications for the team. And that is exciting news to have a female. I'm not exactly where she falls in the ranks of communication chain yet, but it's exciting to have a female come to Jacksonville, one who is highly regarded in PR, and lead this team's communications.
Well, and I listened to, I went back and listened to when the news broke in November that the Texans fired her. And the Texans fired her, and she says, quote, because she wasn't a cultural fit with them. And that is mind-boggling, seeing how the Texans are so dysfunctional. Yeah. So the one good thing about your organization doesn't fit your culture. So, I mean, I guess it makes sense since you like chaos, because she's the good part.
Right.
So they got rid of her. And I saw what she posted. You know, she's a humiliating day, the most humiliating day of her life. And everybody, from everyone, from the athletes, from other media members, obviously came to her defense. We're like, I can't believe how dumb you are, Houston. Why did you let her go? And Schefter even had great, when he broke the news, it was wonderful, saying how she will not be without a job for long. Mm-hmm. So I applaud Urban Meyer for this hire.
Yeah, I think my first two immediate reactions were, number one, Houston is a hot mess right now. And it's just like problem after problem with them. And I remember when this was happening during the season, because J.J. Watt was one of the first tweets that I saw, and he was the one that was, you know, praising her and everything. And Schefter kind of goes into that of a lot of any of the events and, you know, kind of things to help the community that J.J. Watt was involved in, or whatever athlete. She was a big part of that, if not all of the part of that that brought all of that, all of those things together. And I think that the second thing that really popped in my head was, again, good job to Urban, because with all of the Chris Doyle stuff, there was a lot of like negative kind of surrounding it, and it got pushed aside a little bit. It's not going to erase that. There's still going to be people that bring like, well, he kind of did this, and then it got swept under the rug. But he made this big positive step and or decision, and that brings positive light towards the Jaguars, which we aren't used to having. So thanks to Urban Meyer for bringing someone in that, number one, is a step in the direction that all four of us want to see, but also bringing a positive energy and showing the diversity side of things here in Jacksonville.
I want you to understand, she was the winner, and her staff in 2017, the winners of the Pete Rozelle Award, that's awarded to the best PR staff in the National Football League. 2017. Do you know what the Houston Texans record was in 2017?
That's the year the Jaguars whooped them the very first game of the season, beat them again. I'm going to guess 5-11.
4-12.
That was close.
But obviously, that was also around the time that Hurricane Harvey hit.
Right.
So I think that that honor speaks to beyond the football field while also speaking to dysfunction on the football field and how you handle yourself during it. And so that's where I think this is a home run hire, because let's be real, the AFC South is the best drama on television right now, mm-hmm. between the Texans' dysfunction, the Jaguars and Urban era. Carson Wentz. Then you got the Titans' first rounder from last year, Isaiah yeah, I mean, Wynn, saying he's done with football after barely playing last year for a variety of reasons. Mm-hmm. And so I think this is going to be a very steadying hand. But moreover, this is someone who dealt with Deshaun Watson's popularity his first few years in this league. You need someone who has experience dealing with that rookie alpha quarterback, and not only ensuring that they're making all the right moves while they're here, but that on a national level, they're talking to the right people, the right sponsors, the right individuals they should be interviewing with, and the right publications. They're not going on GQ and telling every quarterback that they're trash. And so that's where I think that this hire is elite, mm-hmm. in the words of Coach Urban Meyer.
Well, and I think two things. One, we were in the midst of a bad hire. Whether you believe the stories about Chris Doyle or not, it ended up just looking bad because there was a lot of backlash, and then all of a sudden he resigned. So you can now look forward to the future of a much better hire. Not that they're in the same position by any means. One is sports performance and one is communications. But still, it's great to add someone who has reached the pinnacle of the PR world, to add that person to your staff. And also, you're talking about Deshaun Watson. Trevor Lawrence was named one of the 100...
Time 100.
For the, like, the future, of our country. And so therefore, she's going to be able to help him, I think, also in the humanitarian efforts, because Deshaun Watson has been tremendous in those efforts. And so obviously, Trevor Lawrence has been a guy who wants to not just further the conversation of racial equality, but has a lot of other things that he wants to bring to whatever city he lands in, which we know will be Jacksonville, despite some national pundits. And so I think having someone who has navigated all of that is fantastic.
And yeah. I do just want to interject real quick, an update from that L.A. Sheriff's L.A. Sheriff's Office press conference regarding Tiger Woods' crash. The deputies are saying that they did not see any signs of impairment when they came to Tiger Woods' aid. It is not currently being investigated as a DUI situation. Obviously, Tiger was charged with an OWI earlier this millennium, and an axe and special tube were used to free Woods, as Donna mentioned earlier, not the jaws of life, as the L.A. Sheriff's Office previously reported. Yeah.
Ooh, well, people ran with that one. And that's what I think scared everybody immediately. I mean, you hear jaws of life needing to be used. That's, yeah.
Especially from the people that did it.
Right. And from the interview I watched on CNN, they interviewed an ER doctor asking, you know, what do you look for when somebody like this in this type of accident? And it's like, well, we want to know how long it took them to get extracted from the vehicle. So if you hear jaws of life, that would have taken much longer than the special tools just to, you know, get them on out. So we'll keep you updated on that one.
It's
and
a good thing.
All good news.
It's good. You know what? Mm-hmm. He is alive. He is in surgery as we speak, according to this press conference. And in light of the year that was last year, I think that's all we could ask for at this point. And a speedy recovery to Tiger. Obviously, we will have Emily Tillo on here in a bit. I know we love to pester her and ask if Tiger has committed yet. Something tells me we will not be getting Tiger Woods at the Players this year. I feel confident in saying that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was probably pretty confident that he wasn't going to play regardless, but certainly now, this definitely determines the trajectory for at least for a little while for the rehab and recovery. When it comes to studs and duds, who do we have? That is coming up next. You're listening to Helmets and Heels, driven by Tyrell at Untenton XL. And the crowd shouts at it. Welcome up,
but we can see it. Now the night is ready for you. 7 years and still going strong.
Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet. Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
On 1010 XL.
I feel like I could immediately tell that Donna loved this song. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of dance moves over there. Donna Murphy, Lauren Brooks, I'm Taylor Dahl, and joined again this week, Mia O'Brien. This is one of Donna's favorite segments, as we do every week now, which is very fun. We have studs and duds.
19 seconds. Johnson over to Ramsey. Vigilantinov gets checked by Ramsey. McClanahan is there. The puck is still loose. 11 seconds. You've got 10 seconds. The countdown going on right now. Morrow up to Schultz. 5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Are you a stud?
Southwest delivers 7-6 in the 10.
Or are you a dud?
Put up your pants, my man. Pull up those pants.
Ladies?
No! Terry Rozier! How do you do it?
Who are your studs and duds?
That first one you heard, Miracle on Ice, I get goosebumps every single time because I think I've seen that movie 100 times and I cry every single time I watch that movie.
It's such a great movie. Oh, so and good. I always call it Miracle on Ice and the movie's Miracle, but yeah. I always just say
the call
Miracle
is
on
Miracle
ice.
On
right,
Ice.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, that it's astounding that I think it happened well before any of us were born and yet we can all still
recognize it immediately.
Absolutely.
Almost.
Like, yeah. Realize that it was such a big moment for our country and it resonates still to this day.
I'll kick it off. And this week I have a stud. I've gone each week and I've had my serious, my emotional. This week I'm kind of going towards more lighthearted fun, something that just made me laugh. So it's going to be JJ Watt. And this is adding on to already what I kind of talked about earlier, because kudos to his comments immediately when it was about the Amy Paulsik stuff, because he was one of the first persons to reach out. So that's kind of blending in with what mine is. But the one actually that is my stud this week is a tweet. So JJ Watt obviously was released from the Texans, and it was less than 2 weeks, and people automatically, but it's a big name, so it's easy to say, okay, hello, like, we want you here, we don't want you here, where are you going? And that's what was happening. It was less than 2 weeks, and people were already bugging JJ Watt on Twitter of what team he was going to choose. So that's what started all of this, was somebody tweeted and said, you want to sign somewhere or nah? And so JJ Watt quote tweeted it and said, I scroll through DoorDash like in an hour before I pick a restaurant, man. You're going to have to give me a second to choose a new team in a new city. And this made me laugh so hard. Number one, because relatable. I don't know if you guys are DoorDash
people. I feel seen. I feel very yeah. seen right now.
I was like, man, this is me. And I'll go through it and I'm scrolling and then it will give you recommendations. And the next thing you know, you're like ordering from multiple places, which has happened in the beginning of quarantine. I did a few times. I'm like, I don't know which one, so I'm going to get a few of these. But JJ Watt really made me laugh with that, because also I think it's just, I'm sure he gets a million of those a day. Come to this city, come to this city, come to this city. And so for him to be like, just give me a second. This is a big decision.
I like that he was relating to, I mean, maybe not before the pandemic did mm-hmm. people use DoorDash as much, but certainly since then, I do feel like everybody can relate to that. So I laughed the same way you did. By the way, quick update when it comes to baseball. Florida is in town to take on UNF, and North Florida down 1-0 currently as Jordan Butler had a sack fly and it scored Judd Fabian. So Florida up 1-0 after losing the series, the opening series of the season, to Miami. I invested a lot of time in Gator baseball over the weekend.
And a 13 inning for one of them.
Correct. And I had Gator basketball on the TV and then the Gator baseball on the iPad. And it was stressful because Florida was starting to lose. It had 20 turnovers against Georgia, even though they won the game.
Oh, yeah.
And then in baseball, yeah, it started to slip away. But anyway, back to my stud or dud. I'm going with a stud, and I'm sorry I'm this predictable, but for the second week in a row, it's going to be a Florida gymnast. But there's a reason for that. Last week, Trinity Thomas had almost 410s. It was unbelievable. Well, this week, Trinity Thomas was sidelined due to COVID-19, as was Nia Reid, as was Savannah Shanahair, as was a bunch of people.
Wasn't their entire coaching staff out?
The entire coaching staff was not, but the head coach was, and Jenny Rowland, and also their choreographer and Jeremy Miranda. Now, granted, during the actual meet, I'm not sure how much either of them do, because it's not like basketball where they're constantly
you
coaching
say
adjustments.
Go, and you
exactly,
go.
Right. They talk to them after, always, you know, give them encouragement. But so Florida was down a bunch of athletes Friday night against Kentucky, and I was really nervous going into the meet. Florida is number one and undefeated, and I was nervous because, of course, those athletes were out. But long story short, Alyssa Bauman, a senior who had never competed in the all-around, competed in the all-around that night, meaning she did all four apparatuses, and she won the all-around. And I tweeted about how proud I was of her, And I did not tag her. I didn't even think to tag her. But she liked my tweet, which I thought was fantastic. But moreover,
so you're the stud.
Yeah, Alyssa Balvin's the stud, not me. But I just loved the grit that she showed. And look, when it comes to being a senior on a team, everybody looks up to you. And this was her opportunity to show that she was going to take them, you know, forget the fact that we're missing a bunch of people. I'm going to take you guys to the top of the mountain yet again. And Florida did fantastic, crushed Kentucky. And it was a wonderful Friday night for me. How about you, Donna?
Mine is a stud as well. And I'm going to go NASCAR. I'm going to go with Christopher Bell is my stud. And sorry, Prosser, I heard you guys talking yesterday morning. Christopher Bell is a name if you watch NASCAR.
He probably doesn't believe Michael McDowell's a name either.
I know.
And he's been around for 14 years.
Right? So Bell was the Truck Series champion in 2017, and he drove the past couple of years after that in the Xfinity for Joe Gibbs Racing. Last year, he was a rookie. Now, last year in a couple of the races, I think it was Jeff Gordon probably mentioned, watch out for this kid because he is going to be really good. So all of a sudden, if Gordon says it, I was like, okay, I'm going to kind of pay attention to this Christopher Bell. So he earned his first win. And it was on the Daytona Road Course, which marked the 200th victory for Toyota. It also gave Joe Gibbs, who needs more mantles, you know, for all of his trophies, gave Joe Gibbs the 88th win for Joe Gibbs Racing. Because if you don't know, whenever you meet Joe Gibbs, he will reach into his back pocket and pull out Joe Gibbs' guide to winning and give it to you.
I was hoping he would give me a trophy because he has he has so many.
Plenty to share.
It's hilarious. I this was years ago, so I don't know if he still has them, but he'll reach in. Here you go. And it's Joe Gibbs' guide to winning. I'm like, well, touche. Yes, you have that. So it's awesome. So make sure if you enjoy NASCAR at all, Christopher Bell is a true name. He is going to be an up-and-coming star.
Did you like the road race?
I do. I like it better. I watch the truck race.
Okay.
That's much more fun.
Okay.
There's way more action in that one. Look, the Cup Series drivers, they know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So it got interesting towards the end, but they know what they're doing.
Does Tom Brady have a guide to winning?
Because he should, right?
Like he should have.
He has a guide to avocado tequila.
Mia, you weren't on the show, I think it was last year when we were talking about this, but Taylor was not sure exactly what a road race was, and so she thought that NASCAR drivers might just
on
be
the
driving.
Road.
Oh, like actually, like oh, yeah. They're out on I-95, I-4.
I was like, that's dangerous.
Listen, that new I-95, I-4 exchange is basically the road race, in my opinion. So, yeah, well, we're going to go 4-for-4 with studs.
All right, we're positive.
Yeah, we're positive today. I alluded to it last week, and it came to fruition. Not once, not twice, but three times. LeBron James, not one, not two, not three. We have three girls basketball teams going to the Final Four here from the First Coast. So we got to give it up for the Oak Leaf Lady Knights. They're going for the first time in school history down to Lakeland. Talia Scott is a top 20 prospect nationally. You guys got to check her out if you haven't already. She played at Bowls last year. Now she's at Oak Leaf. Kid is a walking bucket. Incredible talent. St. Augustine, 25-1 on the season. They're going back to state for the first time since 2001. Big season for the Yellow Jackets. And, of course, my girls, Bishop Kenny, back-to-back-to-back Final Fours.
Yes.
I am remiss to say that, unfortunately, I will not be going Thursday to Lakeland, but it's okay because I'm going to be there Saturday when they're in the championship for a third straight year after they upset Lake Highland on Thursday, the number two team in the country.
That's going to be a tough game.
Yeah, who they lost to last year in the final, but that's okay. We've got good vibes.
That's right.
We're feeling good. And, yeah, we're going to be going back down to Lakeland Saturday. So it's all good. And all three teams, for all we know, will be making that championship. And I won't sleep this week, and I'm totally okay with that.
Well, people can listen to the Bishop Kenny girls game Thursday morning, 10 a.m. on 1010 a.m. Certainly proud to support Bishop Kenny Athletics here. And, yeah, when I was in school at BK, girls basketball was not really anything special. Our volleyball team won a state title. And our cross country teams were always phenomenal, and baseball was really good. But as far as pretty much every other sport, not that great. So it's exciting to see that BK girls basketball is going back, like you said, to the state champion, the Final Four for the third year in a row. And hopefully this time they make it to the state.
Yeah, I mean, third time's a charm. Ain't that what they say?
That's what they say.
Is this, Mia, because of like all of the COVID, and is it a less that was the season smaller this year?
No,
game wise, no.
Nope. Actually, they did the same exact amount of games. Obviously, in the college scene, they didn't start till November 25th. Mm-hmm. But on the high school level, I know it was delayed probably by a week of what it normally would be, and obviously, fall practices weren't what you were used to. But I mean, they got in close to 20 games, if not more, every single team. Obviously, if you had a COVID pause, maybe you didn't. But for the most part, yeah, they played it out exactly as you would anticipate. And obviously, spring sports have already started. We had the high school 9-12 media day downtown today. And so it's already up and running. It's crazy. It's crazy. The good old crossover season.
And that's just the one of the coolest things about Jacksonville is the talent that gets pumped out of Jacksonville. Like in every sport. And it's incredible.
Yeah. It is. Yeah, we have really good athletics. Real quick, last thing, well, not necessarily last thing, but last thing I've seen on the press conference, the reports that Tiger Woods, like Donna said to start the show, was airlifted incorrect or used the jaw of life incorrect. He was found alive and conscious. And then, yes, there were serious injuries to both legs. So as we learn more, we will certainly keep you updated.
I'm going to cut to break a little bit early because we have the Princess of Darkness joining us next on Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet.
Sports with a glass of Chardonnay. Helmets and Heels,
driven by Tire Outlet.
Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers
on 1010XL.
Us ladies are so excited because we are now being joined by royalty herself, the Princess of Darkness. This is Amy Trask. Let me get started. The former CEO of the Oakland Raiders, chairman of the board for the Big Three, CBS sports analyst on the board for LA Sports and Commissions, and also the author of You Negotiate Like a Girl. Amy, thank you so much for taking time to join us.
It is my pleasure to do so. Thank you for having me. I'm a big fan of your work, and I appreciate you having me on.
Well, we are a big fan of yours. Let's get started. Us here in Jacksonville, things are starting to look up as it appears Trevor Lawrence will be a Jacksonville Jaguar. What can you say to us about your impression of Trevor Lawrence?
Well, you know, as I am fond of saying, the draft is not a science. You know, there's no code, there's no Enigma code, there's no Rosetta Stone to help anyone crack the draft. And I am not sharing that with you to in any way rain on the parade of Trevor Lawrence. He, by all accounts, looks to be a spectacular quarterback. I think there's some other quarterbacks in the draft that are interesting as well. You can find quarterbacks in the draft. You sometimes miss in the draft. I was part of an organization where we did miss on a high-profile, high-pick quarterback. You can find quarterbacks in other places. So again, this is not in any way to rain on that parade because it looks very, very exciting. But you do have excitement down there and you've got an entire team to build. And it is an exciting time to be a Jaguars fan.
Hey, Amy, Mia O'Brien from First Coast News here in Jax. The lovely ladies of Helmets and Heels have allowed me to sit in and co-host with them these last few weeks. What are your initial impressions of the Urban Meyer Jaguars? Obviously, it was one step back with the Chris Doyle hire than resign, hire, if you may, resignation. And now we have a positive step forward, it would appear, in the PR department.
Well, I think you explained that very, very well. I was tremendously disturbed by the step back you referenced, not only for the reason that the hire was made. I thought that was a very, very, very poor decision. But then to sort of double down and say I've known him. Look, I think it was an error. The organization, in my view, made the right move by moving in a different direction. So, you know, okay, it happened. I didn't like it. It wasn't simply the hire I didn't like. It was the way it was handled. But boy, oh boy, oh boy, do I think Amy Palchik is a tremendous, tremendous hire. You know, in my experience, my years in the NFL, there were those in her job who were respected by the media. There were those who were respected by people at other organizations or at the league. There were those who were respected by players and coaches. Rarely, rarely, rarely did you see someone who was as highly and uniformly respected as she is by everyone, media, players, coaches, organizations, the league office. So I think that's a terrific hire for Jacksonville.
Amy Taylor Dahl here. I am kind of bouncing off that with the Urban Meyer hire. And most people know here in Jacksonville, there's been a lot of locker room culture issues. We saw that with Jalen Ramsey and Yannick Ngakoue a lot of that has surrounded the Jaguars franchise. And now with Urban Meyer, how big is hires like this and for him finding the right coaches and right staff to just kind of transform this team to winners on and off the field?
Well, obviously very, very important. And I will add one thing to the mix, and that's team ownership. And before I share what I'm about to share, I will tell you I think highly of Shad Khan. I enjoyed working with Shad Khan when I was in the league and he was in the league. We overlapped for a period of time. I had the opportunity, and when I say working with him, obviously not with the Jaguars, but on league matters as a whole. We interacted at league meetings, league events. I found him to be just terrific in many regards. And the reason I share all that is to note what I share about every NFL organization, putting aside the Green Bay Packers, which are publicly owned. The owner of the organization has ultimate authority, ultimate control, and ultimate responsibility. And yes, that can be delegated to others. But since the owner retains the ability to yank back that delegation, we circle back to the fact that ultimate authority, ultimate control, and ultimate responsibility rests with ownership. So there have been those who say, wow, you know, are the cons getting too involved with the team? It's their team. It's their business. I love that he's getting involved, and I hope he stays involved because I think that will be for the betterment of the organization.
I agree with you, Amy. This is Lauren Brooks. When it comes to the NFL as a whole, it has made tremendous strides, and certainly it's a behemoth in the sports world. But what's one area that you think the NFL needs to improve?
Well, look, we've all talked a lot this offseason about the hiring process. I don't know ultimately how you compel people to do the right thing. If I knew the answer as to how you compel humans to do what is right, well, you know what, women, we could solve a lot of the world's problems together. You know, it is a shame that in this day and age there needs to be a rule to get people to look at diverse candidates and to be diverse, inclusive in their hiring. I wish there didn't need to be a rule to get people to do the right thing. Ultimately, you know, people talk about how do you get the league to fix things. Ultimately, the league is 32 separate businesses, each of which is separately owned. So it comes back to the owners of each of those businesses. But has there been improvement? Absolutely, positively, yes. Now, I'm scared to say what I'm about to say because I think it's the truth. I don't know that you guys were born when I started my career in the National Football League. Or if you were born, you were very, very, very young. So don't even answer that part. It might make me cry on air. But the fact is, when I attended my first NFL owners meeting, I was the only woman in the room at that meeting. And I am told it was the first time that a woman other than someone who was the wife or daughter of the owner of a team had attended. So no, there hasn't been enough progress. But boy, oh boy, there sure as heck has been progress from when I started my career. There are now, you know, terrific women. And I recognize we're not only talking about women, but diversity in general. But there's people around the league. And so there has been improvement over those decades. But until people hire without regard to race, gender, ethnicity, or any other individuality, which has no bearing whatsoever on whether one can do a job, there's work to be done.
Amy, two of us were born when you started, so there you have it.
Oh, thank gosh, thank gosh, thank gosh. You made my day. And you know, to not be silly about it for a moment, the conversations we're having right now, these weren't even conversations that were going on back then. The topic of diversity in hiring in the NFL, including women in the NFL, these weren't even subjects that were being discussed back then. So has there been improvement? Yes, there has. Has there been enough? I don't think so. It's when people hire without regard to those individualities I just referenced that have no bearing on whether one can do a job that we'll really be able to say there's been improvement.
Amy Trask joining us right now, CBS Sports Analyst, former CEO of the Oakland Raiders. On diversity, I have to say that I thoroughly enjoyed your interview with Mike Silver, and you were talking about your relationship with Ice Cube since you were also the chairman of the board for the Big Three. How do you go from CEO of the Oakland Raiders to chairman of the board to the Big Three?
Well, you know, there is an overlap there. And when I talk about the fact that I have always approached my job without regard to gender, I haven't thought about my gender, I've thought simply about doing the job, I quickly note that I've had the tremendous fortune of working for men like Al Davis, like Ice Cube who don't give a damn about one's gender or race or ethnicity. They care only that one does a job. And I get it. Not everybody is like that. But working for Ice Cube, just like working for Al, I recognize the good fortune I have. Now, the big, 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 big difference is when you're part of the NFL, you're part of an established entity that has been around for generations. And now I'm part of a startup in the Big Three with Ice Cube and Jeff Quantinis. And it's very, very, very different, as you guys know, to be part of a startup than part of something that's so established. In the National Football League, if you want to change a rule or a policy, you're going to umpteen committees, meeting with the league office a billion times, going back to the committees, and on and on and on before it goes for a vote. After our very, very, very first game with the Big Three, we decided we needed to change a rule. We sat down after the game, or games that we had that day, we had a conversation, and we changed the rule, just like that. It's very different being part of a startup, and I'm learning, and it's fun.
And beyond just a startup being an uphill climb, now you have this thing called the coronavirus pandemic that you also are faced with your startup. As you guys are getting ready for this season ahead, Amy, with the Big Three, what are plans? What has been the biggest challenge?
You know, that thing you mentioned, the virus, rings a bell.
Yeah, it's just familiar. Some little thing, and now everyone wears a mask. I don't know.
But you're absolutely, and by the way, now we walk around and I'll see people and I'll say, oh, that's a great mask. And then I stop myself and saying, this is our life now. We're complimenting each other on masks.
Normalize it. You love it.
Right. You're absolutely right. We were preparing to start our season and immediately decided we can't do this. We have too many of our coaches are in an at-risk age group. We stopped the season. We just announced today a brand new big partnership with Monster Energy. We are looking forward to adding additional partners. We're working out the details of a restart now, and we're looking forward to summer to do that. And because this is Helmets and Heels, I will note for you guys that two of our coaches are Nancy Lieberman and Lisa Leslie. Ooh, and one yes. fun moment for me was sitting with Ice Cube and Jeff Quantinis and Clyde Drexler, and we needed a new coach because we had moved Clyde from coach to commissioner. And I said, what about Nancy Lieberman? Not one of them batted an eye at the concept of hiring Nancy. We hired her. In her first year, she won the Big Three championship and was voted Coach of the Year by her fellow coaches and players. The next year, we needed another coach because we expanded, so we hired Lisa Leslie, who came in, and in her first year, won the championship and was voted Coach of the Year by her fellow coaches and players. Nobody in the Big Three cares about gender, race, ethnicity. We care that you do your job.
Amy, I will say here, we are also very lucky. The guys that we work with at 1010XL have been so encouraging, and I've started here as you did as an intern, and I've kind of worked my way up. You mentioned a name earlier in Al Davis, and you worked with him the majority of your tenure. And do you have any story that really pops out of just the person that Al Davis was, and especially kind of helping you in that career?
Boy, I love that you asked me that. I'm covered with goosebumps just thinking about the question. He helped me in every way. He afforded me the opportunity of a lifetime. I'll tell you the biggest misconception about him is that he wouldn't tolerate anyone who disagreed with him, that he wouldn't tolerate disagreement. If that were the case, I'd have been fired 2 weeks into my job. He walked into a room. I was sitting with a coworker. He ripped into this coworker in a way I can only imagine a velociraptor would tear into flesh. And after I listened to him for a bit, I realized he was wrong. So, you know, look, to thine own self be true. I didn't keep my mouth shut. I said, excuse me, you're wrong. And I will forever remember the look on his face when he turned and looked at me. It was like Linda Blair's head spinning around in The Exorcist, and only without the green stuff. And I said, look, you're wrong. And I went on to explain that if he was basing his conclusion that he had reached on accurate information, on accurate data, it would have been a fair conclusion. But he was basing his conclusion on inaccurate information and inaccurate data. Well, he yelled and I yelled and he yelled and I yelled, and we really, really argued. And neither of us kept our voices down when we argued. And I learned later that people had gathered in the hallway to listen because we were so loud. One woman actually brought boxes because she figured, look, this girl's been here 2 weeks. She's getting fired. After a very, very long argument, he looked at me and he's like, okay, I gotcha. I gotcha. I get it. And I think that set the tone for our almost 30 years of working together, that I disagreed with him more than I agreed with him. But I recognized at the end of the day, He owned the organization, so I could. It was my responsibility to tell him when I thought he was wrong. But once he made a decision, it was also my responsibility to effectuate it as best I could.
If only all arguments ended like that.
Yeah. Right, right?
The world would be a better place. Amy, final thing. How did you get used to being on camera since you hated it so much initially?
I'm still not used to it, and I still hate it so much. I have gotten better at it, more comfortable at it, and that's thanks to my teammates at CBS Sports and CBS Sports Network. Look, every single one of us in the world, I believe, now maybe there's those few people that don't, but I believe most of us have that which we are insecure about, that in which we lack confidence. For me, it's always been my appearance. It's always been on being on camera. If you go back and look at my family's home movies, yes, kids today, we actually took movies on movie cameras. I'm not in any of them because I would see that camera and I would run the other way. People in the NFL used to joke that when I saw a television camera, I ran so fast they thought Al was going to, you know, sign me to play defensive back. But I've faced my biggest fear right in the face. And as I said, with the tremendous, tremendous, tremendous help from all of my teammates who before the virus literally held my hand under the table when we were on TV. And now they do so figuratively. And, you know, I guess I have gotten more comfortable than I used to be. My first week on air, I told the producer that I thought I was going to throw up all over myself when the cameras went on. And his response was tremendous. It was, wow, we'll get a lot of YouTube views if you do that. But I didn't, so I'm learning.
Well, Amy Trask, we are so grateful that you are such a badass woman to pave the way for us, two of us that were already alive, yes, when you started, and the other two little ones
you,
here.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I am such a fan of all you are doing, and it is absolutely my pleasure and my delight to join you, and I am rooting and cheering for you guys and your every success, and I wish you the best as you pursue your dreams and your goals.
Well, thank you so much, Amy. And we look forward to catching up with you once football season rolls around again.
Love to do so. And enjoy the development and all that you see going on with your Jacksonville Jaguars.
Will do. Thank you, Amy. That was Bye-bye. Amy Trask with CBS Sports. She's a former CEO of the Oakland Raiders and been dubbed the Princess of Darkness from the Raiders.
Can I claim that she might be the best guest we've ever had?
Yes. Yes.
And we've had a lot of really, really good guests. So props to RJA for setting that
up. I want to be her when I grow up.
I know.
I know
Amy.
I wasn't born when she started in the NFL. So is that a compliment, Amy? Let me know on Twitter. I'll hang up and listen.
I did not say who the two were that were born and the two that are not.
I'm 40, okay? I'm old.
Right. So she started interning in 1983.
Okay. Okay.
And I was born in 81. So
and
there we go.
I was born in 82.
Yeah.
It's really cool when you were reading about her, though, because she really did. She started as an intern for the Raiders and was the CEO of it eventually. Like, Steve, I'm coming for you.
That's why she truly is a badass. You can follow her on Twitter if you would like, at Amy Trask. And I love that she posted a meme of I Love Lucy. So that just really warmed my heart, as that's what I grew up watching.
And I follow her on Twitter, so she posts a lot of I Love Lucy memes, so you'll love her.
Real quick before we go, we do have other Gators in action tonight. The Florida Gators are at Auburn. They tip off at 7 o'clock. There's a lot of circulation rumors on the Twitter web right now.
That are good to me.
That are good if you're a Gators fan. Sharif Cooper, who is considered a lottery pick in the upcoming NBA draft for Auburn, is allegedly not going to play tonight against the Florida Gators. That obviously would be a game changer. Cooper easily, since he was ruled eligible after at first not starting to play college basketball, and then he changed his mind and said, oh, I am going to play college basketball. He's easily the leading scorer for this Auburn team. And if he can't go, that's a big
is
help.
Is there an injury? Is there a reason
Nothing's
why?
Nothing's been reported yet at okay. all, so we don't know. It could be that. It could be a COVID-19 thing. We have no idea. This is how big of a deal Sharif Cooper is. This was my What Florida Stat on the Frangie show earlier today. There are people within the Florida program who believe Sharif Cooper might be the best SEC player the Gators have ever faced under Mike White as the head coach.
And there,
not just this season.
There is this report just now out of Auburn's arena that Sharif Cooper is in street clothes and has a walking boot on his left foot.
Interesting.
So, yes, he must have gotten injured in Auburn's most recent game.
Well, before we head to break, let's just give you a quick update of Tiger Woods. If you did not hear at all this morning over in California, he was in a single car accident. It's a serious accident going downhill at not a high rate of speed, but much higher than the speed limit. Crossed the median, rolled his car, had to be extricated from the vehicle. Not the jaws of life, but they did take some time. He was awake and alert. However, he has multiple injuries on his legs. He is currently still undergoing surgery and at the hospital. So that's what we know. He was the only person in the vehicle. No other cars were involved as well. They said the airbags deployed. He was wearing a seatbelt, and in the interior was intact.
And he was responsive when officials approached him.
Yeah, wear your seatbelt. One of the most important things you'll ever be taught as a child, and then to carry into adulthood. Doesn't matter if you're only going down the street. Wear your seatbelt.
Yes. So that is the latest with Tiger Woods. However, on the other side, it is time for you to win a Players Championship gift pack. As Emily Tilla will join us next on Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet.
Stilettos and Sabermetrics.
Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet. Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
On 1010XL.
Welcome back into Helmets and Heels. Mia O'Brien alongside Lauren Brooks, Taylor Dahl, and Donna Murphy. And we are phoning it home because we got E.T. in the building. I didn't come up with that one. Our producer RJ did. But I do encourage you all to grab a nice drink of your preference, because we're going to be talking not just players. We're talking Meiomi wines. We're talking Golden Man mugs. We're talking players giveaways, because the Players Championships, Emily Tilla, is in the house. How's it going, friend?
What an intro. Thanks. This has been such a good show. I know I told you guys that when I walked in, but man, Amy, she's a stud. She's amazing.
I want to be her when I grow up.
You are.
No, don't remind Amy that.
I could have talked for her for hours.
It's true. I mean, she spoke so highly of you guys and what you all do here in Jacksonville. We're lucky to have 1010XL Helmets and Heels here.
And we are very lucky to have you, Emily Tilla, the brains behind all operations golf, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah.
Don't put that pressure.
Hey, you know what? We're building up. It's ET out here. Emily, we'll start with obviously the breaking news of today that is currently popping up on all the TV screens here in the 1010XL studios. Tiger Woods involved in a single car crash this morning. I will no longer be asking you, is Tiger Woods going to be playing in the Players? Because obviously his health and safety is first and foremost paramount. But what was kind of your reaction this afternoon when the news did unfold?
Yeah, just shock and sadness. And I think at this point, it's just, I think as everyone puts together all the information, just thoughts and prayers go out to Tiger and his family. It's just one of those things where with such a celebrity status that he has, you know, it just magnifies everything. So I think until we know more, it's just like all you can do is pray and just God hope he recovers.
And it's wild because we literally just saw him on the CBS broadcast, even though he didn't play the Riviera, the Genesis Invitational at Riviera. He was literally just talking to Jim Nance, literally on Sunday, and talking about when he would be coming back.
I mean, there was a possibility, but you know, it looked pretty slim with his back surgery. And now, like you said, it's pretty. Yeah, it's just you just got to pray for full, complete recovery, because he's certainly in the older age in the spectrum of golf. But I mean, still, you just never know.
But it was a pretty good weekend of golf. Let's dive into the Players Championship. Max Homa, the winner this past weekend at Genesis, is he committed to the Players?
Oh, I'm sure he has. I didn't double check his
Tony
name.
Tony Finau, is he already in the fray?
I know. Tony's so due for a win. I'm just so ready for Tony to win. I remember coming in here last year and you're like, who's going to win? And you're like, Tony and Spieth. And I was just throwing out names at that point. But I really want Tony to win. He'd be so good. Such a good guy.
That phrase, always a bridesmaid, never a bride. Yes, but, I mean, true. He's won once, but it has been a long time.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you in the post match and after the playoff, after the win with Max Homa, he talked about, I don't know, you know, my game is just really good against difficult golf courses. I said, that's who I'm picking for the Players.
Yeah,
I'm picking Max Homa. Shot. Because usually, you know, I mean, you always get big names for the Players, but when it comes to the victor, sometimes it's like a first time one that you're like, who, what, like KJ Choi, Siwoo Kim, we're like, Okay, so I'm going with Max Homa. That's who I'm picking since he said his game is set for difficult courses, which we know players is an extremely difficult course. Tickets went rampant fast, very fast last week.
Yeah, nuts. I mean, it was it was kind of expected based on, like we said, the pre-sale went pretty fast. There's still some complimentary tickets available to military members and then discounted for veterans for Tuesday and Wednesday only. So as of this morning when I checked with our ticketing team, not all the vouchers have been redeemed. So if you're an active duty military member or a veteran and want Tuesday and Wednesday access, definitely head to theplayers.com for that information. Still an incredible experience. So
free for active duty and then discounted for any veterans.
Correct.
Tuesday
discounted
or Wednesday.
Tuesday and okay. or Wednesday. Exactly. You got to get verified for separate days. I know. Donna, your parents are all set, right?
They're all set.
Yes.
It took, I know that you guys were working with Sheer ID and it took, you know, quite some time for Sheer ID to get up and working.
So thank you for those out there who ran into a few issues with Sheer ID. We were trying to navigate that.
Yeah, but now they're
live.
Good.
Yeah,
and
now we're good. we're here.
They're going, so that's wonderful.
And my parents got their tickets. I don't think they went through the veteran part of it. My dad could have. But either way, they got their tickets. That's all they care about. They will be going on Thursday. And since they couldn't go last year, they've been pretty much every year since I think before I was born. And so they're going Thursday. They cannot wait.
Yeah, no, it's going to be an unbelievable experience with the ticket on site there. It's going to be different. It's going to be...
It's more exclusive, though.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why we told my sister, who I know isn't listening right now, but we told her when Emily Tillo, the lovely Emily Tillo, was like, hey, are you going to look to get tickets? And I was like, yeah, and then we got tickets. And my sister said, let me sleep on it.
You don't sleep on tickets to the players.
RJ, is the text line lighting up because people want my sister's ticket? I'm just kidding. Getting back to the actual event, though, Emily, I know you were really excited to confirm several of the different outlets that not only will be on site, but also hosting the watch parties off site.
Yes. So we've pretty much locked in like a really good list of both restaurants and golf courses who our marketing team has worked closely with to basically offer up tons of swag to give to people who visit those locations throughout the week, just because we wanted this community to know that like we're here to stay. Like this is home. Like we want this entire community to rally around it. So the restaurant takeovers and golf course takeovers were part of that. ABBQ and Hoptinger, both Hoptinger locations, Margaritaville Beach Hotel out by the town center, right? New location.
The Margaritaville is on the ocean in Jack's Beach.
Oh, sorry. I'm thinking of, I was getting it confused with town center. And then V Pizza, the Palm Valley location, will all feature week-long promotions. Blue Sky Golf Club, Eagle Harbor Golf Club, The Yards, Windsor Park, Deer Creek, Ponte Vedra Inn and Club, Palencia will all be offering contests and fun games and activities for people to go out and enjoy, you know, go play a round of golf that week. Have fun, watch the tournament broadcast afterwards. And then last Thursday, so after I spoke with you all last Tuesday, but last Thursday we announced that Every Shot Live, so basically the platform where every shot by every player will be seen live, is free for everyone on Thursday. And then for past ticket purchasers from 2019 and 2020, it's free for the entire week. So incredible opportunity. And that's through PGA Tour Live. So if you purchase a ticket in the past 2 years, you'll get an email on Monday of tournament week giving you that free week-long access. Speed rounds. I've got some fun stats here. You want to hear
that's
some
incredible.
Fun stats?
That's incredible. I love it.
I'm guessing, by the way, that's through PGA Tour app, the
that's
Every Shot Live?
On PGAtourLive.com. That
is
but you can access
okay.
it through, the PGA Tour Live app. Exactly. That's our over-the-top subscription service throughout the entire United States. But what, how many shots can you see through PGA Tour Live or through Every Shot Live at the players during the entire week? How many shots estimated? Just think about it.
So
every
like,
shot by every
see,
player.
See, I was just
going to
say every.
Right. So we're talking.
So I was going to give you like
shots. No. So you're talking like the different camera angles. So, like, let's say there's like six camera angles on hole six.
Well, there's 120 cameras throughout the course, so trivia question number one.
Okay.
In order to make Every Shot Live happen, there's producers apparently over in, like, London. It's all through the cloud, so it's pretty phenomenal. You've got, like, a technical director here, a technical director there saying, like, go to here, go to camera this, go to camera that, but just think raw shots that are hit by players.
So you're going the whole entire tournament?
Exactly. So, you know, most players will average around 70, you know, 72 shots a hole, so.
I'm going to go with 35,000.
Ooh, very close.
Yes.
Oh, well then I will go with 40,000.
She got the calculator app up on her
computer. the difference, 37.
A little bit less, actually, 32. All just right. Over 32,000.
I'm the closest to the pin, which counts.
So happy I wasn't going to say my initial number, which was like, I don't know, a million?
Yeah, 144 players in the field, like 72-ish shots. But
I assumed we'll lose a couple players when I did my math based off of COVID. No, I'm just kidding.
Bigger field this year, actually, too, because of increased qualifications. The tour kind of changed. It was 2019-2020 FedEx Cup season points holders, the regular season standing. So we pulled a few additional people into the field. So bigger field set this week. So who knows?
So if you were going to follow one golfer at the 2021 players, who would it be?
Such a tough question.
I know.
You know you want to say Spieth.
You only want to follow him, though, on Saturday. Yes. Because Sunday is an emotional roller coaster that does not end well.
I've seen Spieth have some issues. I forget which hole it was at, but it was on the front nine. I've seen him have some issues and kind of like yell in frustration at himself. And it was like, this is really awkward. I feel like I'm peering like behind the curtain, so to speak. But that's what's awesome about actually getting to go to the players.
Trying to think about who would be the most entertaining. Harold Varner III.
Yes.
He's so entertaining. So he'd be a good one. It's just hard. It depends on what kind of round you're in for, you know?
Well, and that's, you know, something we talked about, you know, because Jordan Spieth has had the last three, four tournaments that he has had where he's been in contention on Sunday. It's an emotion that probably only Tiger Woods evokes, where as soon as you know they are near the top of the leaderboard, you get near a TV. Mm-hmm. And that's where, with every shot live, you obviously have every golfer at your disposal. And I'm trying to think who else evokes that emotion. And I don't know if historically we can come up with anyone besides those two. I mean, obviously maybe the Golden Bear, but that gives you that sort of, oh, they're in the lead. Okay, I got to go to the TV. Okay.
Yeah.
Cue office emoji of, oh, my God, it's happening.
It's probably your preference, you know, and who you favor. I mean, if Kepka's near the top, I want to see, you know, I want to see that. Or if Rahm's near the top, I want to see him fumble, you know. I just do. I'm sorry, you know.
Why don't you like John Rahm?
He is very passionate.
That's one way to put it, yeah.
I don't even want to know your thoughts on Patrick Reed or Cantlay then.
You know, with Captain America, it's kind of hard to really hate him.
Oh my God.
Because I cheer so much for him when it comes to the Ryder Cup, you're like, I don't care that you're kind of a cheater in an app. I want to root for you, Captain America. Come on, USA. So I can't sit there
his brother-in-law, the caddy, is berating the fans.
That's his brother-in-law. That's not him. Look, I can't go double standard. I can't cheer for him with the Ryder Cup and then hate him with the regular tournament. So, whatever.
And now, Emily, which golfer do you hate the most? No, I'm just kidding. when it comes to people who have never been to the Players' Championship, tell them probably the best three holes on the golf course.
Oh, best three holes. Okay.
I guess the easy answer is 16, 17, and 18.
Right, but there's so many
yourself in the middle of them.
There's so many other good spots, and that's what we want people to, especially this year, if you have a ticket.
Great.
13, that par 3 is great. I love 4.
I was just going to say
that pin position on the far left, too. Mm-hmm. One time I was playing with my friends, fun story, and the practice range for the golfers is right adjacent to it. So we get access as tour employees to the stadium course in the summer months and things like that. So I hit my shot way left, like, and it's one of those like alternating shot matches that my friends and I were doing. And Fred Funk rolls up, and we challenged him to like a little closest to the pin competition.
Fun.
From this, like, we were left of the water next to that practice range, and he couldn't have been nicer. His dog always is. Speaking of dogs, Lauren, his dog always rolls up in his golf cart with him. I know he's since moved to Austin, but he's a great guy.
The next time you decide, can we be your friends that are there with you?
We still have to get out there. I know. I mean, we've been talking about that for a while, and so we gotta get this group out. I would love that.
Girl day would be fun. Mm-hmm.
Well, even if you can't attend the Players, you can win this week's Players Championship giveaway by a 1010XL Goldman mug, Players golf towel, Mayomi wines.
Yeah, I've got to do the read. Tee up your next round with Mayomi. Relax, unwind, and discover the unrivaled taste of Mayomi Pinot Noir.
You gotta practice the read, and you gotta sound really excited. Try it again. Do it one more time.
Okay. Tee up your next round with Meiomi Wines. Relax, unwind, and discover the unrivaled taste of Meiomi Pinot. Please drink responsibly.
Yes!
I gotta do a disclaimer. Yeah. 21 and up only.
Right.
21 and up only. Please drink responsibly.
You nailed that. And by the
way, must be 21 or over.
I have to say, I'm not sure who came up with this idea, but I saw a commercial for the Players with Stevie Nicks' song,
yes,
The Edge of 17.
It's incredible.
Brilliant.
How was that never used before?
I don't know, but I thought this is sensational. For
love
people who don't
Stevie
know the song,
Nicks.
It times perfectly. And of course, the 17th hole is the island.
Emily, that was your idea, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. I can't take credit.
You
can't take credit.
Yes, you can.
All right, well, I'm going to drink some Meiomi wine when we go to break. Right, Mia?
Yes, absolutely. The number to call if you would like the Players Championship giveaway is
641-1010.
I'm still new here, still getting used to this.
That's fine.
Emily Tillo from the Players Championship. Thanks for joining Helmets and Heels here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. When we come back, it is time to place your bets as Allie McDeal joins us coming up after this timeout.
I don't want to be a one-man band. I don't want to be a rolling stone alone, putting miles on a run.
7 years and still going strong.
Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet. Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers
on 1010XL.
Fun fact, this is a band called Old Dominion, and when Amanda Borges still lived in town, we went to see Old Dominion at Mavericks at the Landing, which no longer exists. Neither of them exist. Not Mavericks, not the Landing, but fantastic band. Donna Murphy, Mia O'Brien, Taylor Dahl, I'm Lauren Brooks. We are now joined by Allie McDeal from The Best Bet. Hello, Allie.
Good morning. Oh, sorry. Good evening. Wrong time of the day.
Where are you, Allie?
Look, well, clearly I'm still working hard like it's the beginning of the day.
You got that right. Allie, how are things at The Best Bet?
You know, things are so great at Best Bet. Poker is thriving. People are happy. Tournaments are great. Everything's kind of coming back a little bit more to normal and finding some normalcy at the card room, and it's been really spectacular. We had our first winter series that went off just last month. It was highly successful. People really enjoyed themselves. We had incredible turnout, and the numbers were spectacular. So they, in honor of that, they're going to do another series for a spring series in March. So that series is going to kick off on the 18th of March. It'll run through the 28th. There will be 11 total events. The main event will feature a $2,500 buy-in, no limit hold'em tournament, and it's going to be great again. So if it gives you any idea how wonderful it's been and how safe everybody is, everybody's wearing masks, temperature checks in as you come in the door, everybody gets hand sanitizer. They had the card room pretty much, I think, maybe two tables open is all at Monument. So if you've never been to the Monument location, it is huge. It's nice and spread out. There's plenty of room for people. And, you know, and they had all but two tables, plenty of space for everyone, and people had a really great time. So we're looking forward to doing that again in March.
Allie, Donna here. I am excited because I am ready to join into the next 1010XL tournament. Give us some dates.
Yes. So the 1010XL tournament is on the schedule for April 7th. So that is, I believe that's the first Wednesday in April. And it's going to be great. So again, $110, there will be five bounties. If you knock any of those bounties out, you get $110 back on the spot. And it's going to be fun. So you'll be a bounty, I hope. Yes, you're playing?
Oh, yes. Yeah,
All right.
I unfortunately had to cancel the last time because, you know, sometimes the husband goes out to sea. So
blame the Navy.
The Navy. So, yeah,
I feel like
I'm ready.
We should know somebody that we can call about that.
You know, that would be nice. But yes, I'm ready. I'm ready to go.
Who was the last bounty standing at the last 1010XL tournament, Allie?
You know what? It's funny. I knew you were going to ask me that. And
I think it was
I don't remember. I know for sure it wasn't. I think it was Hayes. You're right.
I think
it was Hayes.
Matt
yep,
Hayes.
You're right.
Matt Hayes. Yeah,
Matt Hayes.
Not Carla.
Yep.
Yes. Allie, you're also doing something really cool coming up. You get to moderate something that the Icemen are putting together. They're hosting a women in business panel. And you get to be a part of that. What are the details when it comes to that?
I do. So first of all, it's at the beginning of an Iceman game. So what a great time to go see the Iceman. If you haven't seen them yet, they're really rocking. They're doing a great job. And they're just so much fun and so much energy to see. So you can come enjoy that women's business panel and then see the game afterwards. So what that looks like is they've picked up some really incredible women in the business community here in Jacksonville, brought them together to do a panel to just kind of discuss how they got to where they are, things that are happening in Jacksonville, and what it's like to be a female leader during this time in our community. So it's really exciting, and it's going to be a lot of fun. You can get the details just by going to the Iceman website, and
All that information is there, so I hope you guys will come out and support, join, and listen to what these ladies have to say.
There's also an open bar, I read.
and then you get to watch an Iceman game right yes. after, I would assume.
Like, this sounds like a great night for me. Allie, are you dropping the puck at this game also?
I am not dropping the puck at this one, or at least not to my knowledge. So Maybe I can arrange that. I feel I'm going to be on the ice anyway. Maybe I'll just be like, I feel like I should drop the puck.
Not if you participate in the open bar. Then I would be careful, Allie.
That might actually be the problem, right? It might be like open bar. Allie can't drop the puck.
So you're involved in poker, hockey, and also dancing.
Yes, I've been very, very busy as it turns out right now. So another wonderful organization that I'm involved with right now is the Jacksonville Children's Chorus. And they are putting on their annual event to raise money to help support scholarship funding for children in need of funds to be able to participate in any form of the arts that the Jacksonville Children's Chorus provides. 44% of their students receive scholarships, so it's a really amazing program. And what they do every year is they put on a huge deal called Dancing with the Stars. They nominate a few people, and then they put you in fancy dresses, give you some lessons, and throw you up on a stage and try to embarrass the living bejesus out of you, which, in a nutshell, is what's happening. So it's been really exciting. I've been dancing. I've been playing poker. I've been, you know, all these things in between. And so if anybody wants to come out and support that, that is March 13th. It's at UNF at the Lazara Hall. And you can get all your information just simply by going to River City Dancing with the Stars. And you can see who the dancers are. You can vote there or any of that other information.
Allie, are you paired with like a professional dancer?
I am paired with a professional dancer. So I told him when I went out, I was like, you have your work cut out for you. I said, I started playing tennis a few years ago and I'm constantly hearing that tennis is like dancing. And I said, I'm really awful at tennis. And he just kind of laughed at me.
Have you noticed that? I mean, obviously, it's a really good workout. Have you noticed that you're more sore from doing the dancing routines than playing tennis?
Yes. And, you know, it's really difficult because, you know, you're using your body in a very different way than, well, or I am. I'm very different way than I am used to. You know, I never had a dance lesson as a child. I've never taken dance lessons. So for me, you know, I kind of think that I have two left feet, basically. And so, yeah, it's tough. I mean, I feel like I'm like, ooh, that muscle hurts. I didn't know I had a muscle in that part of my body. But it's great, and it's a good workout, and I'm just trying to embrace it and take it all in and enjoy the moment.
Awesome. Well, we will talk to you again, I believe, before the actual event. But if not, we'll talk to you right after that and certainly wish you the best of luck. Thanks, Allie.
Thanks, ladies. Have a great night.
You as well. That is Allie McDeal from The Best Bet. Again, that next 1010XL main event is Wednesday, April 7th. And it always now starts at 6 p.m. at the Best Bet in Monument. Donna will be one of the bounties.
I will. I always thought it would be, we always do the Tom Coughlin Jay Fund Radiothon every year.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, along with the Radiothon, I thought it would always be fun if we tried to get a, you know, Northeast, a Jacksonville kind of talent show.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
What would be your talent?
Well, I would try to dance like it wouldn't be like it was 20 years ago, but that I got a talent and that is dancing. That would be it. But I thought it would be fun. You know, we could get up as heels and be background singers for Dan if we needed
to. No, he's our background
right?
singer.
You know, but something fun, like a fun talent show. I always thought that would be great.
I will say really quick, side story to the dancing thing, because I never took dancing lessons or anything growing up, but in college, I think my second year, one of the electives I had, they had like a jazz hip hop class. And I was like, that's fun. I get to just dance and it'll be easy. It wasn't easy. It was so hard. And we had this very aggressive teacher. Like, he was not like, okay, this is an elective. No, this was, you were going to pass this class. And so by the end of the semester, I was like sore every day. I was scared because he was very sassy. And I was like, this is terrible. I'm never just doing this for fun again.
That means he was probably really good.
They never made you guys do square dancing classes in sixth grade? No. They did that in New Jersey.
I do remember.
In New Jersey, we
RJ's
had to
saying
do it.
Yes.
Yeah, so in LA, they had to do it too.
In elementary, we had, I remember having to kind of do dancing, and it was like square dancing type of thing. But I also remember it, we could have our parents like get us to get out of it if we were uncomfortable. And I was like, Mom, I'm uncomfortable. This is not doing this.
I did a camp one summer at Douglas Anderson, which is the high school for the arts. Yep. And they forced you to do something in the school play or whatever, the camp play. And I was like, I don't have a talent. Like, I play sports. I can't sing. I can't dance. And I really can't make costumes. But because I was going to miss the actual play, as it turns out, for some sort of soccer something or other, I ended up being put in the costume making department. And I don't think I did a single thing for, like, the whole week of the thing. And then I never went back.
You were that person in the group project.
I was. But, normally in, like, regular school, I was, like, the overachiever one in the group projects. But not in this arts world. But I will say they did – at the beginning of the week, I had to take the dance classes, and I got a bruise on the ball of my foot. Mm-hmm. And you can barely walk with those. And I at that point realized that dancers are far tougher than they look. Mm-hmm. Like, it looks very elegant, but it is ridiculously hard. So props to Allie, certainly, for dancing. Some updates when it comes to Florida men's basketball leading Auburn. Again, Auburn without their leading scorer, Sharif Cooper. It is 21-8. That's not going very well for the Auburn team. And then in baseball, Florida leads UNF 5-1.
And then Tiger Woods officially in stable condition after going through surgery following that single car crash. He did suffer two leg fractures and a shattered ankle in the car crash this morning.
Well, that sounds honestly, from what we were initially seeing about Jaws of Life and airlifted and all that stuff and the images of the car, that seems like really good news as long as
he has been conscious all day, all day.
So I would think, based off of that, certainly no medical background over here, I would think that he should be able to walk again. They're maybe not play golf at some point in time because, again, he's already had a ton of back injuries. So you add the back to then trying to rehab the legs. So he may not be able to play competitive golf, but he also may be able to. This doesn't sound like a death sentence in that regard whatsoever.
Yeah, and they said they're not going to make this, as of right now, a DUI case because they deemed there was no impairment when they arrived at the scene.
Yeah. Have you ever been driving and you see someone overcorrect, right? Like they start to kind of drift one way and then they yank the wheel the opposite way. You sometimes wonder if I remember my learning to drive. My dad would always say, whatever you do, don't overcorrect. That's the worst possible thing because that's what's going to get the car rolling.
Especially when it's raining outside, which it was not this morning. But that was my first thought as well, was when you hydroplane, it's 9 times out of 10 because you overcorrect.
Right, exactly. So certainly we'll learn more. But to me, that seems like really good news.
If you've ever done that.
Yes, 100%. Anytime you lose control, it certainly is. All right, well, we will keep it on more positive talk. We've had all studs tonight, so we're going to keep it on more positive talk and a little Cam Newton talk as well. That's coming up next on Helmets and Heels, driven by Tyre Outlet on 1010XL.
Stilettos and Sabermetrics.
Helmets and Heels, driven by Tyre Outlet, brought to you by Underwood Jewelers
on 1010XL.
I've just been told that this is Luke Combs, who was at the Daytona 500 and has since apologized for
a tweet he sent like 6 years ago.
Right. Yeah. I was looking at the picture because we only saw him once on television. And he was wearing an Earnhardt Daytona 500 jacket all zipped up. And so I kept looking at the different pictures and the picture angles. I was like, I don't see the Confederate flag. Because as you know, or if you don't know, NASCAR banned the Confederate flag last year, and which is still a highly used thing in NASCAR circles, I would say fan base wise, but not inside NASCAR. And so I was looking at the pictures. I was like, did he have it on his shirt, and that's why his jacket zipped up? Am I confused? But I had no idea.
He came under fire as well for a tweet from like 6 or 7 years ago that used some questionable language.
Look, I will say I am born in 81. I went through my high school days, no social media, no cell phone, no Twitter, nothing. I am so grateful because that would not have been at all survivable for me. So I don't know how kids these days are doing it or being mean or having self-esteem issues. I would completely understand that because without social media, we had self-esteem issues. So I don't know how on earth that would have worked in my little world.
But hey, that's a good segue to the next topic of Cam Newton and some cyberbullying that was in-person bullying that became cyberbullying.
Oh, yes.
So
where do we begin?
Okay, so they're at the 7-on-7 tournament. And this young guy who's playing,
he's a teenager, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. He's a teenager. Decides to call out Cam Newton, referencing him as, "You're a free agent, you don't have a ring."
Which is so not an insult in a sense. Like, "You're a free agent," over and over again. "You're a free agent." Like that's not an insult.
"You don't
insult.
Have a job," is pretty much what he's saying.
Right, but I mean, yeah, he said it
in the most like carefully crafted 2021 child way, sure, where yeah. they assumed that this would not end up on TikTok or Twitter. And guess what?
It did. Even though I think it was his friend recording, it was like a right. like a TikTok.
Well,
beside
it seems like it was so set up. Like, "Oh, look, I'm gonna diss on Cam
yeah,
Newton.
Get this, I'm gonna get him."
You could easily say other things to diss him than say, you know, you're
a free agent.
You don't have a ring.
You've spent millions on clothes you only wore once.
Right?
You're an idiot.
And some of it's very questionable. Yeah. At least in my fashion sense. But what fashion sense do I have? But then Cam Newton's reply is, "I'm rich." And so, look, when I saw this confrontation, I looked at it and I said, "Both sides are wrong, man." Your response is, "I'm rich."
Well, then his next response, though, was, "Where are your parents?"
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's the part that I actually was like,
that I appreciate.
Very, very mature of Cam.
Right.
Yeah. Because I'm not sure if 5 years ago Cam would have had that response.
No.
Honestly.
No.
I think the, you know, going to the Patriots and that not going well kind of humbled him a little bit, and he's figured some stuff out. And you can tell by comments about his clothing and whatever that he's been doing, because I honestly think that 5 years ago, it would have been different. It made me think of, do you remember the commercial where, like, the little kid, what it was like when Cam Newton was, like, I want to say right after Super Bowl year or before, he was doing, like, the kid was kind of mocking Cam Newton, but he was like, "Yeah, when I grow up, I'm going to be your backup quarterback, but then I'm going to take your job, blah, blah, blah." And it was, like, funny. I can't even remember what the commercial was for, honestly, at this point. But then I remember
bad marketing.
Yeah, I remember when Kyle Allen, when that happened, everyone was like, "Whoa, who knew that little kid was Kyle Allen at the time?" So it turned into a lot of jokes, and that's the first thing I thought about when I saw this video. I was like, Cam Newton's probably like, "Man, leave me alone."
What is up with these Gen Zers and hating on Cam Newton? I just don't understand it. I mean,
are high schoolers in Gen Z? Is that where things are?
Okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Is that where things
are? That's who TikToks, right?
I was hating on Cam Newton when he signed in New England. I was like, "Oh, hell no, I don't want that thing going to New England."
But that's because you don't like the fedora.
Well, I don't like his attitude. I hate when he started the dab, and every time I see my son do it, I'm like, stop.
Or the Superman.
I am not. And the Superman, I am not a fan of any of that. But because I've been brainwashed watching New England for the past 20 years, you're used to, you don't celebrate. All you do is you score and you walk back. You walk away. That's it. Unless you're Gronk, and then it's
unless you're Gronkowski or somebody on the Patriots.
Yes, he can do whatever he wants, clearly. But look, as a parent, if that was my child, I have already been contacted. I will say, here's a story from today. His teacher called me and's like, "All right, let's talk about what happened today." My child, who I will say is only 8 years old, and right now, because he's only 8, does not lie. He may make a mistake and not understand it, but he does not lie. So the teacher's like, "I think he's lying to me." I was like, "Nope. He honestly doesn't understand. I'm sorry. He just doesn't get it." But I grill him every day on how to be respectful, on how to treat others, and how to have your manners. And I don't care what grade you're coming home with. I need to know you are a decent person. So
but
that
your son is how old?
He's 8.
How old would we think this kid is?
13?
Oh, I would say probably.
I would say 15 or 16.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think what I read it was high school.
Right, which says to me that those conversations at age 8 were not happening.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, gotta drill it into their heads.
The high schooler himself had to come out and say, "This is not a reflection of my parents," mm-hmm. because, of course, that's what everyone said. That was my first reaction is, "I'm sorry, but you obviously were raised to speak to people like that," because I know in my household, we were not raised to speak like that. And there's no way a video would have ever surfaced of me speaking to an adult like that, let alone someone who I should look up to in the sport. Is Cam Newton a really good quarterback anymore? No, I don't think so. He had 8 touchdowns and 10 interceptions this year. But was he at one point really good? Was he a Heisman Trophy winner? Yes, all of those things. And by the way, if you're going to trash talk Cam Newton, you could have said something about the laptop from way back when he was at Florida in Gainesville. stole a laptop, threw it out the window, said, oh, it wasn't my, or it wasn't me.
There's something about this year. Hey, you can't hold Tom Brady's jockstrap, you know? I mean, come on.
Oh, sure. Something like that, right.
Washed up. Even washed up would have been better.
Yeah.
Just free agent. You're a free agent, I guess, then sparked Cam to say, yeah, I'm rich. I mean, he's made $120 million. I don't blame him for his reaction, because who would have expected a high schooler to start yelling that at him?
Especially at your camp that you're hosting.
Exactly. They should be appreciative.
Really quick, because RJ found the commercial I was talking about.
Oh,
so see if you guys remember it.
Hey, Cam, thanks a lot for coming to my school today.
No problem, Nate.
I promise to exercise and eat right.
Don't forget 60 minutes of play a day, right?
And I'll grow up to be big and strong like you.
Absolutely.
And play in the NFL.
Yes, sir.
And be drafted number one.
Maybe.
Become the starting quarterback of the Panthers.
Okay.
You can be my backup.
Excuse me?
And make Panthers fans forget about you. And become your mom's favorite player.
Whoa.
I'm just loosening my arm.
So that was
that.
It was the play 60. Yes. That's what it was. I was
that was Kyle Allen?
No.
Oh, that doesn't sound like that would be Kyle Allen.
Jokes because the little kid, if you look at the commercial, the little kid is like, looks kind of like a little Kyle Allen. He has the brown hair, like just has his little body frame, like what you would imagine Kyle Allen looking like when he was little. So when Cam Newton lost his job to Kyle Allen, everyone was like, oh, who knew those Play 60 commercials were Kyle Allen and Cam Newton?
That's funny.
That is
You
funny.
Got me. I thought,
she's like, what?
Wow, I didn't know that really was.
I remember like people were actually like one of the highest Googled searches that week where was that because people were actually was like, kid in the Play 60 Kyle Allen? Like, what was that?
Which is really, people sometimes on the internet, like usually this stuff doesn't make me laugh, but every once in a while it'll actually get a chuckle out of me. I met Cam Newton, I think I've told you all this story, met Cam Newton at the Super Bowl in 2014 and was of course like, can I get a picture with you? And he said yes, he was very nice. And I put my arm, you know, behind his back and I was like, that is the strongest back I've ever touched in my entire life. Still to this day.
Did you tell him that?
No, of course not. No. And
I told Keith Urban he smelled nice, so it's okay.
Because you interned at the Academy of Country Music. Were a student at the Academy of Country Music Awards. In Los Angeles, though, not in Nashville. Tell people that story.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're doing some story hour. Let's do it.
Last segment, Mia. We do it whatever we want.
Hey, let's do it. Let's do it. So Ithaca College, where I went to school, has campuses in New York, Los Angeles, and London. And so I had was fortunate enough to do the London program my sophomore spring, and then I did the Los Angeles program my junior spring. Probably the most fun part, well, you guys will enjoy the ACM part of it, but there's a campus building. So, like, there's a place where we take classes, but as far as our living arrangements, they have us live at what was previously called the Oakwood Apartments. Many call them the Brokewood Apartments, because that is half a mile from Universal Studios and from the Warner Brothers lot, because that is where all the child stars and washed up adult actors live.
Ooh.
So you would go to the pool and there would be lots of child stars running around and their parents corralling them, and weird hours of the night you'd be in the convenience store on campus and you'd never knew who you'd walk into. They actually have a wall in the convenience store with all the different child actors who have ever lived in the Brokewoods with signed photos. It's wild. Anyways, that's my most fun part. But no, the ACMs, I decided to take a break from sports. That was my one of two non-sports internships. Ithaca has a pipeline at the Academy of Country Music. Shout out Lauren Broccoli, one of my best friend's older sisters, who was the first one to intern there. Then she was the assistant or manager of creative production there.
Hold up. So, her last name is Broccoli?
Yeah, B-R-A-U-C-H-L-I.
Oh.
Yeah, yes.
That's what
for
I
a
got
second, I thought I was getting a shout out when she said Lauren
No, Lauren Broccoli, yes. So Lauren
That's
was
your new name.
Lauren interned there back in 2010. She eventually got a job, and then from there kind of became a pipeline. And so I was part and lucky enough to be the intern in the creative media production department for 2014. So obviously the award show in Las Vegas is the biggest project that you work on, but also different business-to-business writing, different interviews, in-house projects. ACM Honors is the nonprofit, not ACM Honors. ACM Lifting Lives is the nonprofit that provides musical opportunities for developmentally disabled adults and other people who might otherwise not be exposed to music opportunities. So there's many different branches, but I was in the media production. So that meant I did get to meet some cool people. And so Keith Urban being one of them. But the day I told him he smelled nice was not at the ACMs. It was the week after we came back from Las Vegas. My grandparents had flown in to visit, and I was able to get tickets to an American Idol taping.
Oh.
And Keith runs around the audience, pre-COVID, obviously, people. This is 2014, simpler times. He runs around the audience before the show. And of course, my poppy screams out, "We loved you in Vegas!" So he comes strutting over and he goes, "Hey, aren't you Lisa's intern?" And I was like, "Yes." And then he goes, "Give me a hug." And I was like, "Oh my God, he smells so nice." And he's
That's
like,
impressive, though, that he remembered you.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. Darius Rucker as well. I was able to interview him several times.
I got a beef with Darius Rucker.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hootie.
Well, you know.
Yeah, but no, that's when I told him he smells nice. Tim McGraw, also one of the most wonderful smelling humans.
How does he not smell nice? Yeah.
Oh, no, he smells incredible. And Carrie Underwood, I cried when I met her. She's the only person I've ever met and cried because of how beautiful she was. We were the only two people in the room because my bosses had stepped out and she got there early. And so I'm just like the little intern setting up, and she walks in this like beautiful dress. Search ACM Carrie Underwood 50th anniversary, because we were taping stuff for the 50th anniversary. And she walks in, and literally I wasn't trying to cry. Aww. I just was trying to say, "How can I help you?" And she was trying to say, "Are you okay?" And I was just crying, and I don't know why.
This sounds like you were just writing a country song about her.
It was,
I just met Carrie Underwood and she made me cry.
I just couldn't believe it.
Not only losing my dog would make me cry. Country is not like
that. But yeah, if you ever want country music stories, which I know our producer RJ, shout out Mr. Chubbies for converting RJ into a country music fan. I was fortunate enough to peak early in my life, as I like to say, and hang out with all those celebrities early on. I also hung out with Guy Fieri at the ACMs.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Weird things have happened in my life.
Guys, grocery games, man.
Oh, Food Network on repeat. That's I always have sports on the TV, but Food Network, I mean,
you gotta do it.
Before we say hello to Rick, why do you have a beef with Darius Rucker?
Oh, because Tom Hanks did this 90s special on, I don't know if it's History Channel, something like that. And he did the most influential bands, musical acts of the 90s, and he didn't mention Hootie and the Blowfish. And so Darius Rucker was like, "Tom Hanks is the worst. How does he not think that blah, blah, blah?" And I'm like, hold up. If you think in 90s, Hootie is not top on my list, sir. No, no, no.
We knew that we wanted to be Hanks with you.
Tom Hanks
is
never
Hootie
wrong.
And Darius, but we knew this had to be about one of the Toms. Lauren, we knew.
It always is.
I mean, Donna,
it always
Tom
is.
Hanks is never wrong. All right, so we had a packed show. It was a fantastic show. We need to thank Amy Trask, the Princess of Darkness. I just love calling her that. Former CEO of the Oakland Raiders, for joining us earlier in the show. Go to Twitter, at Amy Trask. She is phenomenal. She joined us earlier. We want to thank Emily Tillo for the players and for the wonderful giveaway. She earned someone who won it earlier, along with Allie McDeal from the Best Bet Poker Show. So for RJ Saunders, our wonderful DJ RJ, producing our show, for Mia O'Brien joining us yet again, which we absolutely enjoy, Taylor Dahl, Lauren Brooks, I am Donna Murphy. You guys have a wonderful Tuesday night.